You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Now, when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus and his disciples are invited to a wedding. Now, we don't know the relationship that they had with the bride or the groom or their families, but they're invited and attend this happy occasion. Now, in that culture, weddings were not just a long afternoon or evening. No, no. Wedding celebrations took several days, even up to a week. And in that honor-shame culture of first century Palestine, to run out of wine for the celebration would have brought great shame on the house that ran short. At the very least, it would have been an inauspicious start, a bad sign, you might say, for this new union. Now, as guests, Jesus, his disciples, and his mother have no formal responsibilities. They're just there to celebrate and enjoy, to party. But when his mother learns of the impending shame on the family, the wine has run out, she goes to her son Jesus and tells him the problem. And then she goes to the servants and lets them know, "Hey, if Jesus should happen to say something to you, do it." That's kind of the context of the language used there. It's not a definitive. It's just, if he happens to say something to you, go ahead and do it. And while somewhat reluctant, Jesus tells his mother, "His hour has not come." In the Gospel of John, that language of hour specifically refers to Jesus' passion, resurrection, and ascension. Jesus eventually does tell the servants to fill the large jugs used for ritual purification with water, which they do to the brim, and then to take some of the contents to the chief steward. Now, when the steward, who is probably not a paid position, but think more a voluntary one, kind of like the matron of honor or the best man, when he tastes the wine, he is amazed. It's the best yet. He then goes to the bridegroom and congratulates him on this. Man, most folks wait until the crowd gets drunk, and then they pour the lesser quality wine when they can't appreciate the difference. You've done the opposite. And I wonder sometimes, what did the bridegroom do? Did he just kind of go, "Yes, I did"? Was he confused? Did he just not care? "Yeah, great, wonderful, go back to partying." We don't know. The only people who knew about the sign were Jesus, we assume his mother, the disciples, and the servants who listened to what Jesus told them to do. Everyone else is clueless, but they benefit from it, don't they? Excellent wine in abundance. Now, this is the first of seven signs in the Gospel of John. Now, signs, if we think about them in our life, are things that point us to something or give us some important information. There is an octagonal red sign down here on the corner of Raleigh and Main Street, and it tells us something important. What does it tell us? Stop! Now, the sign itself is not what is important. We can certainly admire the sign. Ooh, how symmetrically octagonal. What a brilliant shade of red, crisp white lettering. But the sign is not important. What's important is the information that it gives us, what it tells us to do, what it points us toward. Right? This way to the restroom. That's often a sign. That's probably a sign we need here in our space. What does this sign of water being turned into wine point us to? What does it reveal? What is the response to the sign supposed to be? With that one, you stop. The text says that the sign reveals Jesus' glory. That tickles something in our brain, and it harkens us back to John 1:14, which we've heard for several weeks now in and around Christmas. The Word became flesh and lived among us. That's Jesus. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The glory revealed in Jesus is of God's Son, full of grace and truth. Grace, undeserved gift from God in abundance. Truth, which Jesus will later say in John that he is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what is the proper response to this sign? Well, the disciples kind of point the way to that. It's belief in Jesus. The sign of Jesus points us to something about who God in Jesus is, what God in Jesus does and offers us. Now, part of the reason I like this story is it's not flashy. Everything kind of happens behind the scenes, right? It's quiet. No fuss, no muss. There's no great panic or announcement. There is no wine! The horror. It's just one of those things where, you know, the word gets out. Apparently, the mother of Jesus is hooked into the gossip, right? She kind of hears word, and oh, wine's running out. She passes it along to her son. It's a point of information, more than a direct request. Again, the language doesn't quite translate for us into English. It's just kind of, hey, you know, they're running out of wine. But just in case, she tells the servants, hey, you know, if my son were happen to tell you to do something, no matter how ridiculous it might be, do it. And when he decides to act, Jesus, again, does so kind of behind the scenes. He doesn't make a big production of it, does he? Folks, look at the miraculous thing I'm going to do. Nothing up my sleeves, right? Instead, he just kind of wanders over to the servants, a few quiet words. Hey, the jar's there, fill those with water. And then take some of what's in it and give it to the chief steward. There's no sense that the majority of the party has any earthly idea of what has just gone on. Rather, they blithely continue to celebrate the wedding of their friends, enjoy fellowship, and, well, you know, this is really some good wine. And they go on about their lives, unaware of how it happened, only that it is. And isn't that often the way God works? Quietly behind the scenes, through ordinary people and means, just doing what Jesus says. I don't know about you, but I've had many experiences of this kind of grace in my life. When I was in college, I was coming off a really bad vacation. Yes, it did involve a girl. And I still remember the kindness of a waitress at a restaurant on my way back home. It was just a few minutes of interaction total, but something in that was a balm to me. I remember still. Grace. Or any number of times in my ministry life when I've wondered if what I was doing, what I had dedicated my life to, made any difference at all. Feeling defeated. And then often within a few days, out of the blue, something will happen. A phone call from a former member of my youth group telling me she was going to seminary and that I was a major part of her doing that. A note from someone thanking me for the work that I had done with their son. Or someone just acknowledging the work that I did and the value and worth of it. A sign from God. Yeah. Grace. Undeserved, truly. In this social media age when our every thought, meal, moment can be documented and shared and often is, I wonder if we ignore the quiet ways in which God is at work in our lives. What a gift it is to have the eyes to see that it is happening. To be in on the action of the disciples and Jesus' mother and the servants who filled the water jars. To know what they know. So what do we learn about God and Jesus at this moment? About what God in Jesus does and offers. Well, as we've learned, weddings are about celebrations of family, right? New beginnings, relationships. And while they are special, they're pretty ordinary, aren't they? Weddings happen all the time. God's grace shows up at this little affair. God and the grace of God show up in the ordinariness of our lives. Do we take the time to spot it? Can we see the signs? And what does God provide into this wedding celebration? Abundance. There are 6 stone jars. Do you remember how many gallons each one holds? Yep, I was hearing 20 to 30, right? And how many gallons of wine? 6, 20 to 30. Who's good at math? That's a lot of wine. It's Sunday morning, Pastor. There's no math here. So, 20 to 30 times 6 is 120 to 180 gallons. Because remember, they filled it to the brim. That's almost 1,000 bottles of really excellent wine. Abundance indeed. Jesus' extravagant miracle of changing the water into wine is a sign that in him, life, joy, and salvation have arrived. At the beginning of John's gospel, the narrator told us that in him was life. And that life was the light of all people. And later in the gospel, Jesus will tell us, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. In Jesus, we receive abundant life, filled with good things, family, relationships, fellowship, joy, just like this wedding. Now, sometimes, like in our story, these things come unexpectedly towards the end of the party, but they do come. Jesus is the author of the sign, but it's made possible through the servants who listened to Jesus and did what he said, even though it seemed ridiculous. Can you imagine what they were thinking? Okay, how is filling these big jugs with water going to help us from running out of wine? And to fill those would have taken some doing. It's not like they had a tap or even a hose that they could go and grab and fill them up, right? They literally would have to go to the well, which could have been some distance away, and bring smaller things, because those would have been big and heavy to hold that much of stone. So they probably were taking smaller containers to go and fill it. But they do it. Then they listen to Jesus when he says, okay, bring some of the contents of the container to the steward. Okay, how's bringing water to him going to help? All right. So what do you imagine their reactions were when the steward asks, hey, where'd you get this excellent wine? Wine? Now how'd that happen? I just thought it was water. What do we learn about ministry in this moment? That when we, like the servants, listen to Jesus, do what he tells us, even when it seems ridiculous, amazing and abundant things can happen. Not always in a way people will see, or ones in which they will thank us for profusely. Tells us that sometimes when we offer our little bit, well, it's just water, they will receive it as the best wine that they ever tasted. Even if it's, it's just a thank you, that's just a card. But through our work, God makes it the best thing that they have ever received. God provides just what they need through us. God provides them life abundant through us. And isn't that reward enough? Is this sign about the wonders God does within the ordinariness of lives and through ordinary people? Where has abundance or grace appeared in your life in an unexpected way or from an unexpected source? Did you ever attend to that, dwell on that a little bit, and consider that it might have come from God? Or did you just kind of let it pass over you, a bit like the bridegroom, just go blithely on your way? As we enter into this new year, I invite you to consider the ways God is entering into your life and providing life fuller and more abundant than life would otherwise be. Look for those places and those people that God uses to provide this. And to believe in the one through whom all things came into being. I'd invite you to consider the ways in which following the commands of Jesus to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves can be a means of God's abundance to enter into the world. That our little bit can be the best wine to somebody else. And I invite you to consider how your own gifts and talents used in the service of God's kingdom can be a means of abundant impact on those around us. To have confidence that even your little bit of water has the ability to have that kind of impact on someone. And so now, let us sing together our hymn of the day as we prepare to go to our own banquet of Christ's own body and blood graciously given to us so that we might be fed to go forth into the world and be a means of abundance for others. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and sing.